Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Danny, only on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the show. Today is Friday, June 22nd. We're on Facebook Live this morning, so if you guys want to see us, Danny's looking absolutely ravishing. No matter how you dress. No, this is a compliment, you know. But they didn't get to see you dressed to the T 2 days ago.
Yeah.
Right?
I was dressed to the nines last night.
Yeah. Did you post a picture?
From,
you look very good in that red dress.
I got like no pictures.
No pictures?
Mm-mm.
Yeah, you do when we took a picture.
Yeah, I hated
here, no?
every single one of them.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, well, I'm sorry about that. You spent a lot of time on that.
Good guest, horrible picture taker.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, well, what are you going to do, right?
Yeah.
Well, if you are watching us, you can see we have a couple of guests. We're going to bring them on in just a moment. And this being Friday, tell me a little bit about, you woke up at 8 o'clock and you went to sleep at 5:30? Is that
no,
what
I went to bed at like 6:15.
At 6:15. Okay, that's the time people usually get up.
Yeah.
So you just stumble home at around that time?
Yeah, but I wasn't drunk or anything. I was completely sober.
Right, right. But still, I mean, that's pretty pretty out there, would you say?
I usually don't
radical.
Go to, I never go to after parties. But remember I told you I got turned down on Saturday night?
Yeah.
By that guy?
Right.
He was there, and I was like, oh, I'm going.
Really?
Yeah. Round two.
An after party of what?
People
what
just go it? To, like, someone's house and continue the party outside of the club. It's basically what an after party
Oh, so it's an after party for a party in the club. It's not like an MTV Awards after party.
No.
Or an
Oscars. God, no.
So it's not like something where it's
No,
a big
it's not
game.
Important.
Okay.
Yeah, no.
All right. I just had to make
It's not
sure.
a red carpet event.
No.
Not at all.
Wow. So are you excited about finding an agent?
Yes.
Are you okay with that?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Well, you give them a couple weeks. If they don't come up with something,
then bye.
Move on to the next one.
Yeah, but I think they already got me a Skype interview for a new show. So.
Oh, there you go. You see?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
So fingers crossed.
So they're only going to look for reality shows for you?
I think once we get our relationships established, he said he'll start getting me like auditions for like Tyler Perry films and stuff.
Really?
Yeah, even though I don't know how to act, but I'll give it a go.
Yeah, you'll do. You learn as you go.
Yeah, exactly. anyways, I got turned down again last night. So
you did.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
but I will say this: I think he likes me.
Oh, really?
I think he's playing hard to get.
Okay.
Yeah, but he was with two girls and he left with them. I was like, oh, what is up with these dudes leaving for threesomes? This is two weekends in a row.
Well,
that guys have left.
You're hanging out the wrong people, I'm telling you.
He doesn't drink, smoke, or anything, so I'm kind of into that. And he's older.
Uh-huh.
He's like 34.
That's much older.
Well, I mean, what I usually date is like 26, 27. They're still trying to find
their
fault.
Well, it's time to find older, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Wow.
So, I don't know, we'll see. I'm going to, they're having a house party tonight, so I'm like, oh, I'll be there.
Really? Whether you're invited or not? Or
no, they invited me.
Oh, they invited you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, there you go. So
it's so weird.
Party.
All his friends try to sleep with me.
Really?
Right in front of him, too. I'm like, this doesn't make you want me just a little bit? You're not intrigued just a little bit?
Oh, wow.
But no.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you wonder how women choose the guy they're going to actually go with when they have like 100
suitors. That's what his friend said. He goes, dude, you're so hot. You shouldn't have to try. And I was like, I think it's the trying that's like making me interested.
Yeah.
Because usually it's so easy.
Yeah.
And he's like making it hard for me.
Yeah. So you're looking for these. Well, those are games, you know. They're dating games.
Well, he just got out of a relationship. So
yeah.
I think he's not ready.
No, you're going to get him on the rebound.
I might not
anyway.
Be the right chick you want to hop into.
No, yeah, you're picking the wrong guys. I'm telling you, move on.
Oh, God.
You always go after the guys that don't give a shit about you. What are you going to do? Why?
I don't know, Sam. Bring in the guests. Enough about me.
Okay.
And my horrible dating life.
I know. No big plans for the weekend or anything, huh?
No, I'm going to a party tonight, and Saturday I'll probably be like comatose. So
yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, if you got a dollar for every party you went to, you'd be pretty rich by now.
I don't go to that many parties.
You
yet.
Do? Go
I really
to that
don't.
Many parties?
No, I don't.
You go to that many parties?
I really
if
don't.
If it's not parties, it's clubs, whatever. But you do go out a lot.
I don't think so.
Okay. All right. We'll ask the listeners.
We'll take a poll.
Yeah, right.
I feel like I sleep a lot.
Yeah, you do. Well, you have to make up for all that, you know.
You know what, Sam? At least I'm enjoying my best life. What are you there doing you this go. Weekend?
Nothing, man. I've got a friggin' boring life.
You're going to hang out with your son's cat.
Compared to yours.
No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, no, I know. I will, probably. Oh, man. I'm still dealing with this cat every day, you know?
You know you love it.
That's not the point. The point is I don't need the hair and the smell.
There's this thing. I'm going to send you a link. It's off Amazon. It's almost like a mitt.
Okay.
You just got to do this and all the hair will come off.
No, well, you know, my son like vacuums and everything, all the stuff I ask him to.
Right.
But, you know, you got the litter box and all that stuff. It's like, oh.
Is your son hitting the pavement trying to find a job or what's his
yeah,
deal?
Yeah, he is, but not by hitting the pavement, hitting the iPad.
Oh,
and
yeah.
He's looking for jobs. He went to interviews and stuff. But, yeah, I mean, you know, it takes a while. Mm-hmm. But just before we bring in our guests, let me ask you this. You go to an interview and they ask you, would you do anything? Would you break the rules if you had to during the job? Like, this is for a bartending job, right? He's like, no, I'm not going to break the rules. I'll ask the boss if it's okay. So
that's a typical, like, kiss right. your ass answer.
It's like there's no answer for this because...
But what do you mean by break the rules? Like, pour too much?
I don't know. That's the thing. I told him, I said, you know what? I would tell her, can you please give me an example? You know, put her on the spot because I don't understand what's going on. And, we got a delivery right here. I'm telling you, you're connected. She just had Starbucks delivered to a room here. I can't believe this. You're very well connected.
That's but, awful.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. She went all the way to get it for you, and it's awful.
Oh, my God.
Why?
I hate to say that, but it's really...
What
is
it?
As soon as it's that white, I knew.
Really?
Yeah.
Not very
I like five espresso shots of mine. Like, what is that going to do for me? Because it give me diarrhea. Like.
Oh, okay. Well, we won't discuss that then. But let's just finish that question. So,
I would have said, hey, what do you mean if I had to?
Right, right.
Because what does that mean? Like in an emergency?
Give me an example, you know? So, she told him, she says, well, here we do everything we can to please the customer, blah, 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 you know? So it's like, yeah, I'm still not going to break the friggin' rules. I mean, I would have said,
because everybody right. breaks the rules. If someone said, let me get a double, I'm giving him a double.
Well,
I'll charge him for a double.
Well, yeah, but that's not, you know.
No, sometimes you're not allowed to do that.
No.
Mm-hmm.
But that's what I'm saying. So it's like a stupid question. All these questions are like corporate questions, you know, that you know they ask everybody and they mean nothing.
Yeah.
And I thought, you know, why don't you ask like meaty questions like, you know, about the person.
So I'm assuming he didn't get this job then.
No, I don't know yet. He just went for the interview yesterday or 2 days ago.
Okay.
So we'll see, but he probably won't, you know.
Oh, my God. Because don't say that. Speak positive.
No, because that's what he said, so. I don't know.
You need to tell him to work on it. He needs to come in here. I got to give him some life talks.
I know.
That negativity is only going to bring more negativity. You got to say, yeah, I'm going to get that job.
I know.
Then
well,
you're gonna
I keep
get
trying
it.
To tell him that, but he doesn't listen.
Yeah.
All right, folks, we're going to bring in our guests right now who are sitting here patiently. And if you didn't hear in the beginning, we are on Facebook Live. Are you seeing us there on Facebook? No, go on Facebook and see. She's like, no, I shouldn't be using my phone. No, I just want to know if we're on Facebook just to make sure because I have nobody overseeing this today. Okay, so we're joined by, let's see, let me bring up the name. I know it's Todd and Nick.
Yep.
Go ahead and introduce yourself, full name.
My name's Todd Wertman.
And I'm Nick Smith.
Nick Smith, Todd Wertman, welcome to the show, guys.
Thank you.
Now, you guys have a show on Discovery, right? So that's a TV show, and it's called Sticker Shock.
Correct.
Tell us a little bit about the show.
Well, it's sort of the Antiques Roadshow of vintage cars. Owners bring in their cars. We hear their story, understand their connection to it, and then inspect it and tell them a current market value.
Right.
Of their
now,
car.
Are those like special cars or any car?
Cars that the person has a connection to, a personal connection to.
Oh, I see. Okay. But it can be any car, right?
Pretty much.
So, what's a personal connection, though? I mean, I'm trying to understand that.
Before we start, actually, hold on a sec. Your son vacuums. Christian, if you're listening to this, this man's son vacuums. Anyway,
I'm assuming just, that's your son.
Well, I forced him to this morning.
He doesn't know how it works.
How old is he?
15.
No, he needs to know how a vacuum works.
Yeah, well, my son's 25, so I shouldn't have to tell him.
Yeah.
They've owned the car for a long time. They've used the car for family tours. They've used the going all over the country. They've one lady once told me that her car was the only thing in her life that never let her down.
Really? Oh, my God.
Now they're trying to sell it?
No, not necessarily. Oh, I mean, okay. It depends on what we tell them for value.
So when we say personal connection, we mean deep personal connection. These people were very well researched and vetted. Did they really have a story with the car? Oh. And so that was how they got on the show. So the value is not the driving force for getting them on the show. It was, can they tell a story about why they like a car? And then we had some very surprising reactions to the values. A lot of people were surprised what their car was worth.
Really?
So basically it's a shock value if it's worth a lot.
Or a little.
Or the reverse.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay.
I believe we accurately appraise them.
Yeah.
And so sometimes that's a happy moment, very happy. Sometimes that's not so happy.
Right.
Yeah. it all depends, right? So give me an example. What kind of cars, for example, do you guys get?
Like, what's a cool, expensive car you got? And they were shocked that it was worth a lot of money.
Oh, a lot of money.
Yeah.
There was a cool, expensive car that wasn't. Yeah. And that was Todd's. It was a Mazda with a body kit.
Uh-huh. Mazda. What kind of a Mazda?
It began life as a Mazda 929. It got converted in the style of a 1970s Italian show car. Uh-huh. And it was a very passionate project by a man who thought it was going to be worth quite a lot in the end. And we had a different opinion.
So. Oh, damn. Can you imagine? I used to have a Mazda.
Did you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like my second car.
What year was that? They don't make the 929s. They haven't made them in a long time,
no,
right?
No, I think I'm no expert on the 929s. I was a few months ago in preparation. I think maybe 90 and 91.
Really?
Something so in that range. And then it became something else. Millennia?
Yeah, something
yes.
like that. Yeah.
Yes.
I don't keep track of Mazda.
What about you? Did you come up with an interesting car?
I had a few. There was another one that was a great story. There was a 1986 Mini truck, lowered to the ground, big wheels, incredible paint job, fluorescent yellow with stripes and flames all over it. And it was very much part of the scene that was back in the 80s
time,
and 90s.
Yeah.
There was a big culture, a big mini truck culture back in those days, and it was really the hot rodding of the 80s, and people kind of forgot about it except for the really passionate guys for a while.
Yeah.
And this truck popped up, and the guy thought it was $20,000, $30,000, and it was worth a lot more, about $100,000.
Really? Wow.
So,
I mean, I remember this from the 70s, too. You're talking about the 80s, but I remember living in Las Vegas from 76 to 80. That was totally a truck culture, you know?
Yeah.
And, I mean, T-shirts, even vans and things like that, you know, that was like the in thing, you know?
Right.
So that was amazing. And and then it continued into the 80s, I guess, with all the chrome and the big tires and everything, right?
Yeah.
Well, if you think about it, the popularity was pretty obvious because a basic truck was so inexpensive. You could go buy a brand new Toyota and then improve it as you went.
Right.
And so that's really the hot rodding culture is not based on, oh, I can just go buy a hot rod. A hot rod is built. So
right,
you start
exactly. So they're customized for each person, right? There's no two that are alike.
Right.
So basically every car on the show has a little bit of customization to it.
Personalization. I mean, not necessarily. It might be standard,
like it's
a standard car,
be,
but it's just a great story that someone owned it for a long time.
Has anyone rolled up with like a regular Acura, not banged down, like, hey, how much is my car worth?
We've had some monumentally uninteresting cars.
Yeah.
1981 Oldsmobile station wagon was excruciating.
Yeah.
But the guy traveled with his family all over the country and it was a great surf wagon, but he lived in Cincinnati, so he needed to put it back to surf spec for it to be worth any real money.
Right.
Wow. So how do you guys evaluate the value of the car?
Well,
did you guys go to school for that?
No.
School hard knocks.
Yeah, right.
We're both in the car business, and so I buy and sell cars every day through a dealership that I'm a part of, and they're all vintage cars or important collectible cars. And so when you do that enough, you end up with enough knowledge to pretty much value anything.
Right. That's true.
Yeah. So now what's the oldest car you guys had on the show, would you say?
Oh, Model T from...
Yeah, probably the T, yeah.
Really?
1900s, yeah, 1910. Yeah,
wow. 1900s.
That's like the first cars made, right?
Mm-hmm.
I know Ford. Nothing about cars, so I have no idea what you're talking about. Mm-hmm. I literally have to... What is it called? 19T? I'm just going to Google it really quick.
Model T, Ford Model T.
Model T, I said 19T.
That's the first cars that ever came of off of a production line.
Proper production line, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, one more time. What is it called? Model T?
Model T.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, okay. Those are like the old school cars.
He just said 1900.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah, he did. I'm sorry. I'm asleep, all right? Give me a break. I thought the car was called
1900. I'll apologize for you. I'm sorry.
Those are cool looking, but I don't think I'd ever get in one nowadays.
That was not your Uber last night, was it?
No. And if it was, I would be like, have a nice day. Yeah. Have a nice night, sir.
So someone managed to still own a car that old.
Oh, yeah.
That was worth a lot, right?
That car had an amazing history.
Really?
It had been driven over 100,000 miles back in the period, driven all around by a group of women who went on a tour every summer. That was just a really, really neat story. The car is not all that valuable. Model Ts in general aren't all that valuable. That one would be a great museum piece just because of the history.
Right, yeah. It looks like it should be in a museum.
Right.
Not on the road. Not on the 405.
No. Not a good car.
Yeah. So, Nick, why, for example, why would a car like this not be worth as much as we would think it would? I mean, 120-year-old, it had a... What's that?
The number that they produced.
Oh, really?
So they're actually very good cars, so they survived.
They survived
very well. Some cars that we see that aren't necessarily well produced, but they made millions of them that got thrown away, like toys, kids' toys.
Right.
Those dropped in value to nothing.
Yeah.
And now if you can find a good original example, because there aren't any...
Yeah, what about the cars in The Notebook?
The cars in The Notebook.
The movie The Notebook. Yeah. What about
if someone came to you guys with that would be worth a lot of money, right?
Yes.
Those type of cars.
Yes.
Yeah, see, I would get into one of those.
Yeah.
I see people driving those all the time out here.
Wow.
But older guys. I mean, you bringing that out of the garage today? You trying to pick up a chick? What's going on? But they're cute. I like those cars. However, no, I don't.
Nick, what's in The Notebook? I haven't seen this.
I haven't seen either.
Yeah,
I know. So you don't even know what car I'm talking about.
Yeah, he's just, whatever.
She's got a hangover. I'm going to get this one past her. She's not going to notice.
It's all right, guys. Let's move on.
I think we're talking exotics.
Yeah. So, Todd, how did you guys put the show together? How long have you guys known each other now?
I've known Nick since maybe 2002, 2003.
Yeah.
We worked together at the same dealership in San Diego. And the show got put together completely without us. They pretty much prepped an entire show and then went and searched for the cast. And
Very interesting.
The director, I've known him for quite a few years. I've talked to him as he's gone through other shows and always kept in touch. And finally, there was something that I wanted to be involved in and that he thought I was right for. And so we started working together.
Wow, you're very fortunate in that way.
Yeah.
Huh? Yeah. I mean, they could have chosen from a lot of people, but somehow you were there, the right place, the right time.
Didn't I not say that the other day? It's always right place, right time.
Yeah, you got to be there, right? You got to be out there and let people know.
Yeah.
So at the time... So was it both of you as a package when they...
No.
Really?
No idea. No, we found out one day that we were both on the same show.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
And from someone else, completely different as well, yeah.
That's so funny.
Had you been in touch before that?
Oh, sure. Yeah, I see him all the time.
Really?
I've Yeah, we've been in...
It came up very, very quickly.
Yeah, so yeah.
From my conversation with the producer to first day of shooting was only a couple of weeks, a few weeks.
Wow. Yeah.
It was blisteringly quick. And, you know, you go through this, it's like, yeah,
right,
whatever.
Right.
Sure, yeah, we'll be on TV.
Right. Right.
It went on and on. And by about the third day of filming, I'm like, this is actually
happening.
Real.
Yeah.
Should
yeah.
probably take it a bit more seriously.
Yeah.
Most people talk about the waiting game and, oh, I auditioned so long ago or I did this so long ago. I went from probably first phone call to audition video to contracts in less than a month.
Wow, very
cool.
Sometimes
it moves that quickly, other times it doesn't. Yeah. Like, yeah. I've actually had auditions where I did my Skype interview, and then it was like a month and a half, and then they were like, hey,
yeah.
now you got to do your contract, or hey. Right. So sometimes it's like fast, other times it's like super slow.
Yeah, yeah. And so now, what did they feel qualified you guys to do a show like this?
I think we both have a unique background. Nick comes from the auction world. He works for a high-end collector car auction company. And when you're in that field, you need to have a very broad range of car knowledge. A lot of people who are successful in this business end up being successful in Porsche or Ferrari or, you know, a very narrow focus.
Right.
But you never know what's going to walk in the door, A, at an auction company, and B, my experience has been pretty vast, too. I do have auction experience. I also have just a broad interest in cars. And so being able to understand such a diverse group of cars and know their values, I think... made us both extremely qualified.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And Todd's knowledge is encyclopedic.
Yeah.
He's one of my go-to. I claim not to be an expert. I claim to know who the experts are.
Oh, okay. Well, as long as you can...
Yeah, as long as you know your role.
Exactly.
It works.
Yeah. And how did you get into auctions?
Back in 2007, I've been at dealerships with Todd, and separately I was at Bentley Beverly Hills
uh-huh.
for a while, and fancied a change. Fancied
yeah.
learning about a new aspect of the industry.
Yeah.
Loved it. It put together sort of the Hollywood show element with cars, and it was great fun. Became quite addictive, and I stuck with it, and I just changed companies a few months ago.
Really?
To Worldwide Auctioneers, and it's great. It's good fun. And
so it's a big field, would you say? There's a lot of car auctions?
There are a vast number of car auctions.
Yeah, I
there
hear about them from time to time.
That in our realm.
Right, few in your realm, that's place. What I mean.
Basically, it's Scottsdale, Arizona, and then Pebble Beach for the big Concours in August.
Really?
Shockingly, though, the workforce in the business that we're in is surprisingly small. I mean, wouldn't you say, Nick,
yeah.
that there's, you know, you couldn't fill an airplane with car experts with broad value knowledge. There really just aren't that many people, but there's a huge volume of money spent that changes hands, but it's all kind of overseen by a very small group of people.
It is.
Right. So tell us how the show works exactly. How do you guys qualify the people who will be on? How does the process work for you guys?
That part's a mystery.
It is.
How they get onto the show. No, that's not. they submit a video and, uh-huh. and a story about how they owned the car, how they came about owning the car and what they've done with it since, etc. And then they get to the show.
Right.
We've got a host, Dennis Pitzenberger, who does a fantastic job of drawing out that story on camera. And then we appraise the car.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. And then they actually... And then what happens once you appraise the car?
We either hit them... a lot less, a lot more, and uh-huh. or about where they think.
Okay,
it is.
So but you guys don't buy it from them, but do you arrange to sell it for them?
No, I mean we would. That would people always say, "Oh, it isn't for sale," and then their ears perk up when they really like the value.
Yeah. Right.
And so that,
everyone has a price.
Yeah.
Oh, exactly.
There have been some exciting moments on the show with reactions to high value, and you know that they're going to go home and rethink whether they're going to sell it and remodel their kitchen or not.
Right. So
I would never sell my car. I'd park it in the garage and wait like 10 more years, and then it would be worth even more.
It's worth $1 million right now.
Yeah.
And it's declining market. You're selling now, aren't you? Is it the Mazda?
No, I have an Acura.
She's got an Acura all beat up.
It looks like shit.
Yeah, well, okay. So it's not going to be what you... it's not going to be on the show, let's put
Definitely not. But I don't have a story.
But you do have a relationship with it. Didn't you drive it out here from back east?
Yeah, but that's not like...
No story there.
No, and most people like name their cars. Like, they go, me and Tabitha. I'm like, who the fuck is Tabitha? Yeah, like, my car. I was like, what? I'm the only person I know that has never named a car.
Yeah.
Me and my sister.
Yeah.
And my brother. I know
that. Well, mostly when they break down on me.
Oh, yeah. You just got to think of like
I
a...
Can't.
Oh.
Yeah.
Very cool. So people find out the car... so if a guy... Now, does a guy really have an idea of what the car is going to be worth for the most part?
Absolutely. Really? That was part of the interview process. Is people submitted an online application, sent in pictures of their car, and then they ultimately got a Skype interview with the producers to see if they were charismatic, interesting, could tell their story, and then they absolutely had to name a price.
Okay.
And that price was usually kept from us. The cars were pretty well sequestered from us so that we could inspect them on camera, kind of for the first time, so that it wasn't, you know, rehearsed and researched, and there weren't these moments set up. It was really just us looking at a car, and then we would assign it a value, and sometimes we had the owner's value in advance and sometimes not. And
yeah,
so sometimes the big reaction is from us, like, oh really? Yeah. You think it's worth that?
Yeah.
Now I would imagine there's no like blue book rules for these things, right? I mean, you got to look at the car, you got to look at the story.
The cars are getting old now, so there are multiple sources, but you've got to look at it as a car and take a lot of information.
Right, and that's what I'm trying to figure out. What do you base your evaluation on?
There is and there is not a blue book. I mean, the insurance companies that that insure these things have to have some sort of a published guide. So there are ranges available for everything, but in order to really look at it and assign it a value, we have to inspect it for prior accident damage, current rust, inspect the quality of all the finishes, and then talk to them about how it runs and drives.
Yeah.
And all of that affects the value dramatically, because all of those things are very expensive to correct.
Right. Now, I was asking about old cars. What's, like, the newest one you've got? I mean, do you look at new cars at all? They're probably all worth the same, right?
Yeah.
In other words...
Yeah, you've had less chance of...
Yeah, so you got to look at more like...
destroyed across country.
So that's more like classic cars.
Actually destroyed it in the garage.
It's primarily classic cars. The idea being, it was your father's car, and it's not going to be for sale ever. Well, okay, it's worth $500,000. Oh, okay, suddenly it's on eBay.
Yeah.
Oh,
so now, so the show probably gets like hundreds of requests and things like that. Do the producers actually go through that, or are you guys involved in that process, or do you just wait until the short list?
Yeah, that all of that was done before we were signed on, really. I don't think I looked at any submission tapes that didn't make it to air, really.
Right.
We did we had some interesting things where we had very animated, charismatic people on their Skype interviews. I would sit and watch that, and then they would come on set, and the cameras were there, and they were wooden. Oh, my God.
Really,
That happens all the time. Yeah. All the time. I can't even tell you how many casting producers are like, yo, she was so lit in her interviews, and now that the cameras are rolling, it's like, we don't even know who this person is. That's why you got to have at least, like, 10 people, because two of them are going to be entertaining.
I had a guy who said he had background in stand-up comedy, and he was a wedding DJ. So you would have thought this guy was, you know, jazzy and tons of personality.
Adam Sandler and The Wedding Singer.
Yeah. Oh my God, he was he was so just nervous and wooden. I really felt bad for him. And then we'd turn off the cameras and he'd sort of snap out of it, and I was like, turn the cameras back on. Don't tell him.
God.
Well, very interesting stuff. Besides the show, do you guys do things together, like business or things like that at all. I mean, you guys obviously have the ability to get along.
We have a business meeting scheduled for half an hour.
Yeah.
That works.
We've done business before. I bought cars from Nick, and quite a few. I don't think you've ever bought anything from me, thanks. But
you're too expensive.
I bought quite a lot from him over the years.
Really?
Yeah.
So you buy cars, and what do you do with them? You turn around and sell them?
I buy them to resell, and if they need work along the way, I facilitate that, and then we market them and sell them.
Do you do any hands-on work on the car, mechanical?
Me, physically, no.
Right.
I have a hand in the direction that restoration work takes if it's necessary, but I don't physically.
Yeah, good for you.
That.
Who wants to work hard, You just find the people to do it.
I don't want to work hard either.
I'm just hopeless at it.
Absolutely. So the show Sticker Shock, that's 13 episodes. The ninth one is airing this Wednesday. So that was yesterday.
Just aired.
And at 10. So every Wednesday, though, right?
Every Wednesday at 10 o'clock, yeah.
Very cool. And the past episodes are on their website or something on their...
Absolutely. There's a Discovery Go app where you can watch all of the episodes to date for free, or they're also available on discovery.com.
Yeah. And this sounds amazing to me. I never heard of an idea like this. So now I'm like curious to see what kind of cars and how you guys interact with the people and everything. So now let me ask you this. They're talking about, this fascinates me. You guys just dealt with a Batmobile and a tank?
A tank, yeah. I knew that was coming up.
Addison, wrote it here, so I need to know about it.
Addison Brown, one of our star appraisers, did an excellent appraisal of a Batmobile.
And then
Nick here butchered up a tank.
I did.
What does that mean?
Well, you've got to be nice to somebody who owns a tank.
Yeah.
So, I had to do that bit. And it's a tank.
Yeah.
How much fun is that?
Yeah. How do you evaluate something like that, right? Well,
what do you do when you own a tank? It just sits in your backyard? Like, what are you going to do with that anyway?
I didn't want to ask him. I really did.
Like, is he driving down the street in a tank?
Had a horn. Had lights. It was street legal. It was scary.
It was street legal. His justification for owning it was, parades and display and things like that?
It's a historic thing
for World War II.
That's so weird.
But there's a group of people that are really, really into that stuff.
There's a big group here.
There's a big group. My cousin in England has a farm, and they do... Tank day, and everyone comes out and blasts around.
That would be cool to drive a tank.
Nah,
really
I'm
cool.
good. It was so good.
There is no faster way through LA traffic.
Yeah, there you go.
No, right. None. Yeah, but you'd kill people.
You crush everybody under you.
That's all right.
He's like, get out of my way. I got a meeting in a half hour.
Natural selection.
Yeah. tanks fascinate me. I was in a tank early on in my life. Just going inside and seeing, and it's like... it's definitely you can get claustrophobic.
I would think I would get claustrophobic.
It's very, very tight in there, but it's
noisy, I assume.
Noisy, but a World War II one, that's amazing.
You're familiar, so it was a personnel vehicle, so it wasn't actually a full-on tank, but it did
have a 50 caliber
gun on the top.
But did it have the wheels? It had tires.
Normal big truck wheels.
That's the problem. To me, I think to have a tank, you have to have tracks.
That takes away from it, because when you said he owned a tank, I was like, "Who? What is he? Is he going to drive them into our boulevard with his tracks?
With the chains?
What was his name?
Not
Shark?
That cool with the tires.
His name was Shark.
This guy went by the name of Shark.
He was on the Young and the Restless back in the day, and he's a great guy. He was really good. We're still in touch.
Very nice.
I'm nervous.
Can you imagine bringing a guy home to your dad and saying, "Hey, Dad"? Shark.
And the Batmobile.
Shark.
He's a tank.
It's a shark tank.
Pull up and honk twice with your tank.
But only one person can fit in a tank, right?
Oh, no. Nick.
Two or three.
Oh, really? He should rent that out for parties.
Yeah. Well, maybe he does. But
if
I also, the Batmobile also, I've seen one or two around here. So I don't know if it's the same one I've seen.
This
but tell us a little bit about it. Spent a fortune.
It's worth nothing.
An immense amount of time of his life building this thing, and everything worked. The flamethrower out the back, the jet launchers on the back of it, all the lights.
He was a retired engineer.
Yeah,
is that right?
Yeah.
There are a lot of people that build Batmobiles. There's a company that will sell you the fiberglass body, And then it's up to you to kind of choose which chassis you put it on.
Wow, how cool is that, huh?
Yeah.
I mean, you get to put together a car from
scratch. Imagine having that much money to waste?
But he engineered all
I'm trying to imagine that, yes.
Switches and lighting, and it had a fire out the back.
Yeah,
and
So
what's his plans with that? Is he trying to sell it? Does he, like, pick people up? Does he pick his dates up on the weekend?
I think his plans changed slightly, didn't they?
It wasn't our car. It was Addison Brown, the other one of the other appraisers. So I didn't really get involved in knowledge of it. But
do you know what happened afterwards?
I kind of no.
Was it worth a lot of money?
He had an accident.
An accident. Oh, wow. Got crushed.
That's terrible.
Was he in it?
No.
Did he die?
No.
Oh my god!
No,
I was like, that's
crashed
really
on the freeway.
was anybody in it though?
He used it. Oh yeah, yeah. But he used it for parades and stuff like that. No one heard.
Oh my god!
Plus, you get the attention. I mean, imagine, you know, and you get to drive a Batmobile.
You know what's so funny to me is I don't know much about cars, but I'm not into like any of the cars that most guys drive out here,
right?
Like, that have money, like Lamborghinis, Ferraris. Like, you're not picking me up.
So what are you into, like a Corolla or something?
I like a safe SUV, not something where we get hit by a Mack truck, we're gonna disintegrate. Like, I have no desire to be in a Lamborghini with somebody going 150 miles per hour.
Yeah.
Well, I think the flip side of that coin is a Lamborghini in traffic too. It's sort of a funny thing. Like, people will drag their supercar out for an evening to go to dinner, and it's like, if you have so much money, you should have a normal car to go to dinner in.
Or take an Uber, because like, we're going to get drunk together. Right. Like, what?
Driving your Lamborghini down Wilshire Boulevard to go to dinner on a Saturday night is really lame.
Yeah.
You don't get to go anywhere, right?
But that's what people do. They'll like literally drive their nice Lamborghini to catch.
Exactly, to be seen, you know.
If you really have, you know, all the money, you should be in the back seat of an S-Class if you're going out to dinner.
The dealership that we worked at had Lamborghini, Ferrari, Lotus, Bugatti, Rolls-Royce, Bentley, the whole nine.
People forget what happened to Paul Walker.
And someone once told me that their favorite car out of all of them was a 60-inch stretch with a bar in the back.
Really?
Yeah.
There's a time and a place for those cars, and I love them as much as anybody, but I just do not have any fun doing mundane driving in them at all. It is horrible.
Right.
You're right. You know. But let me ask you this. If you want to take a long drive, most of these are not very comfortable for long drives, right? I mean, you wouldn't take a Lamborghini driving to, I don't know,
Arizona
or something? Or
Newport Beach.
Newport is fine. Yeah.
I would say the driving experience, if you're a real car guy, the driving experience outweighs the discomfort.
Right.
So if you want to go to Santa Barbara for the weekend or whatever and drive up the one, or you're on the freeway when it's not too crowded, I totally get
it's
it.
Fun,
so maybe
yeah.
lack of luggage space and being very low to the ground is an acceptable trade-off.
Right.
It's a different kind of buyer. It's a different kind of car that we're dealing with at that point. It's about an experience.
Why do people have to go fast in those type of cars? Like, why can't you just get in that car and go like the normal speed limit?
Because they build them for speed, right? Yeah,
but it's also so dangerous.
Boring.
Dangerous? Yeah. It's dangerous to get on a motorcycle. I'll never get on a motorcycle.
I've got a truck downstairs with a 1965 motorcycle on the back, and I'm going to go and ride 1,000 miles in Northern California this weekend.
Wow.
So you can't really
Wait, you're driving all the way to Northern California on your bike?
No, in a truck, and then I'm going to take the bike for another 1,000 miles.
Oh, you're driving a motorcycle 1,000 miles this weekend?
1965.
That's a lot of. Where are you going to drive all that?
Yeah,
that's
like, where are you
cars.
Going?
It's beautiful up there. It's
like,
gorgeous.
Where are you driving 1,000 miles?
San Francisco to Red Bluff, Red Bluff over to Fort Bragg, and then down the coast.
Oh. By yourself?
That is a
No.
That sounds like a horrible weekend.
Why?
No, I thought he was going by himself.
Even if you go by yourself with your bike, what's
wrong
with that?
Cup holder with a cocktail, music blaring is fine.
With a cocktail?
Of course.
Yeah.
I'm the queen of roadies, so I shouldn't be talking to
you. Maybe you don't enjoy driving and stuff.
I like driving at a regular, normal speed.
Okay. All right.
Like, I like get anxiety. Like,
there's room for people like you. It's the right lane, the slow lane.
Yeah, I stay in the slow lane for sure. I do
good,
and I get such a bad anxiety, especially if I'm like just starting to like date someone and they pick me up and I don't know how they drive. I get like anxiety about it.
Yeah,
like, I don't want you to pick me up. Just call me an Uber. I'm like that for like the first like 6 years. Just kidding. Wait, I'm not kidding.
Whoa. So and definitely this is a place to do it. LA is pretty much the car capital of the world, would you say?
No.
Or no?
I would say
some distinct advantages.
Because I understand, from what I understand, is a lot of people are a lot of cars are designed here, and they get tested here first.
The premier school for design is just up the road in Pasadena.
Right, right.
I would think it was out of the country, like Rome or something.
Rome?
Well, we have a huge car culture. I would say that Los Angeles and Southern California in general has a huge impact on the way cars are designed.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah.
If you can't penetrate this market, you're probably not going to survive.
Right. Mm. Right. And that's what I mean.
There's a lot of car shops now, too, like RDB, Premier. I think they like focus on decking out cars.
They do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I live right next to RDB. Just kidding. Mm-hmm. Anyone that's talking to me on this radio, I do not live right next to RDB. Oh, shit.
She just made it up.
But they, every time I drive by, they have like sick, like they make cars look like amazing.
Really?
Yeah, on the outside. I don't know what's going on the inside, but they make the outside look really cool.
Yeah. You guys must have seen some really like gaudy looking cars, right? Like people go all out with lights and all kinds of things. Did you have anything like that on the show?
We did. And, you know, you have to remember that we're both employees to a hobby, basically. So there are people that experience a hobby, and if they want to do something to their car, I appreciate their enthusiasm. I may not appreciate the execution of their enthusiasm, but it's I'm not judge or jury on somebody's taste. Mm. So I like that they like their car,
right,
whether I like it or not. Nick, right, did you really enjoy some of those giant engined things that you looked at?
I loved them.
Are you saying that sarcastically?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I was like,
enormous engined American cars that bang around corners. It's not really my thing.
Yeah. There's a show, I don't know if it was on Discover. There used to be a car show that I used to watch when I was in like high school, and I used to be obsessed with it, which is weird because I don't really know anything about cars. Do you guys know what show I'm talking about? They would take like junkyard cars and then flip it into like the most amazing thing you've ever seen.
That's like every other show.
Yeah, that was
right.
That's all that's going on.
That was a popular premise in motor television for a long time. So there were,
but they were like biker. They look like dudes that would Hell's Angels. They look like that.
There's a lot of that.
Yeah, that sort of.
So I'm not narrowing it down, am I?
Not they really. Was there a lot of shouting and throwing of wrenches and arguing?
Yeah, it was like dramatic.
Yeah, that's sort of a lot of other shows.
Very dramatic.
They sell a lot of black T-shirts to guys who do car television shows. I'll tell you that.
Yeah.
It was
interesting though. Like they would pretend that they had a time crunch or they like lost a part and they weren't going to be able to finish the project. I'm like, this is so TV.
So you use the word pretend.
Yeah, because I've done reality. I know. Exactly. Yeah, they need the viewers to be engaged.
Well, yeah, you've done reality TV. So I mean, our appraisals are our appraisals, and no matter what influences the TV,
it's real life. Yeah, you can't make that up.
We stood by it. Mm-hmm. And still do.
Yeah.
Thankfully, we didn't have Discovery in our ear. Like, wouldn't it be better?
Because they could leave, and if you tell them a wrong number, they could be like, "Yo, bro," right?
No, it's
how does
just
that work?
It's just that our names are attached.
And you don't want to be a fraud.
I'm Todd Wertman in the car business for almost 20 years before this show.
Right.
Hopefully 20 years afterwards.
Damn, you don't want to be working for another 20 years.
Well,
let's say 5 or 6.
Why?
It depends on if you like what you do.
Exactly,
I guess.
You
if you love your job, I guess you never work, right?
Right.
Yeah, that's true, you know? Yeah. So the show is Sticker Shock. That's on Discovery. You can catch it Wednesday nights at 10 p.m. Pacific and Eastern. And you can listen to these great car buffs. I wanted to ask you, if you had to choose a car today, because you guys are car buffs, I'm not really, but what are your favorite cars like these days? If you could, buy one.
It's the A car.
Yeah.
A car is a problem.
Yeah. Oh, I see.
Wait, what do you mean?
A single car.
Because there's a lot
problem.
Of them that they would like to have, right?
Oh, yeah.
I'm not sure I could narrow it down to 20.
Right.
Really?
See, I don't know cars like that, but
there's a couple at the top of the list.
Yeah. Usually the Italian ones.
Shockingly,
right.
Usually Francis.
The expensive Italian cars.
Yeah.
They know how to make them, though, right?
They put soul in them. It's a driving experience. It's more than just getting from A to B. It's a feeling that you get
from
driving.
So would you say like a quarter $250,000 car, is that like really handmade? I mean, it's not like a production line, right? Or is it?
Well, so many cars are production line, even if they're somewhat handmade today, unless you get to the $1 million plus cars.
I see, okay.
But I said before, I had a car last year that was truly, truly handmade. Uh-huh. A guy rubbing it down and fitting things by hand, absolutely handmade. And it was probably the last one that you'll ever see that was like it.
Wow.
Wow, so you should get an appraisal and see how much that was worth.
Oh, I sold it for a loss.
Oh, so you already got rid of it.
I sold it and neglected to make money in the deal. I forgot
neglected
about that.
Oh my god.
But it went to a very good home. It went to a home where he said, if ever I want to use it, I can go back and get it. So that's why.
Do you have regrets selling it?
Every day.
See?
Really?
I told you, yeah.
Every day.
You miss that thing?
I do miss that thing.
Come on.
I do miss that thing. I will get another one at some point.
You just said they don't make them anymore. You just got the last one. You sold it.
No.
I
bought it secondhand. I bought it used.
Oh, okay. But they don't make them anymore, right?
I know, but they still have them around.
They're still around.
People, somebody's going to charge you like triple.
Probably.
Yeah.
Yeah, I sold it just at the wrong time. It's triple in value by the time I want one.
Right. Yeah. Damn.
Very cool. Well, gentlemen, you're very interesting, a lot of fun. And it's we don't talk about cars a lot here.
No, like never.
So this is cool, you know, because I love driving, you know. And I love cars too. And like I said, L.A. is really a place. I mean, where else would you find? Like the other day I was at the stoplight and I realized we are 5 Mercedes right next to each other, you know.
Yeah, Mercedes is a thing out here.
You get Teslas more than you'd ever imagine anywhere in the world, right? Mm. They don't even stand out anymore. So yeah, LA is the place for cars, you know, for sure.
Right.
So, and how can people find you if they want to contact you, follow you?
People can find me, Todd Wertman on Facebook and Todd Wertman on Instagram.
Can you spell your last name? Because I don't have a clue.
Wertman. And my company is European Collectibles in Costa Mesa, California.
Oh, so you're in Orange County. How cool. Wow. You guys know
how to do it. Did you drive all the way from Orange County today?
Yes.
Wow.
Well, thank you very much. I hope we made it worth your while.
I'm Nick Smith.
Yes.
On Facebook and nick.smith66 on Instagram, and I work for Worldwide Auctioneers.
Oh, wow. And
they have an Instagram too.
Also
Worldwide is spread all over the country. I work from home, so the shortest commute ever.
Wow. Very cool. Well, gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us again. Everybody, check out the show on Wednesday nights, of course, and I'm sure there's all the past episodes are on the website at Discovery Channel. All right, well, that's it for tonight, for today, for the weekend, for the week, actually. We're wrapping up a week.
Oh, I thought you meant we're not working next week. I was like, what?
No.
So confused.
We're always here. And thank you to Amy, of course, for making it always possible.
Thanks, Sam.
Thank you so much. Thanks, everybody, for listening and for watching. We'll see you all here on Monday.
Listening to Sam in the Morning with Danny, only on LA Talk Radio.